You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
After Warawara with a wide open lane, and he thumps it down with a tomahawk jam going right down the lane.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
As the horn sounds, and Toronto beats the Bucks for the second time this season, minus Giannis Antetokounmpo, 117-111. The Raptors have won four consecutive games, and the Bucks have lost two in a row now.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah!
All right, well, tough on a number of fronts here for the Bucks. When you look at the players available, when you look at the coaches available, and some news that broke literally seconds after this game ended, as soon as the game was over, there's a report out there. I'm sure most of you have seen it by now. For those of you that haven't, we will get you caught up on that. And, as any good journalist does, we will recklessly speculate what it could mean in terms of the future of the pivot position here for the Milwaukee Bucks. But they fall tonight to the Raptors, 117-111. The final score here, disappointing second half for this team. It was a number of times we've said it this season, but it really was a tale of two halves for the Bucks in this game. Red hot in the second quarter. In the first quarter, really, after the first four attempts from three didn't fall, they then hit 13 of their next 17 to close out the half. And an entirely different story in the second half. A couple of things that really contributed to that. We'll get to that momentarily here. But the number to get in touch with us tonight and get in the queue to talk about the story of the game, which again broke immediately after this game ended, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. The Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line if you want to chime in tonight on Bucks Talk. So let's go ahead and get to the story. And that is this, as it was reported by Sham Sharania of The Athletic. The Bucks intend on waiving DeMarcus Cousins now in advance of his contract becoming fully guaranteed. So we knew the deadline was approaching. Friday is when the contract becomes fully guaranteed. And we had the conversation here in the radio booth prior to the game, during the game as well, with the way that Boogie played in the first half. Yeah, well, I mean, it seems as though it's a foregone conclusion. The Bucks are going to guarantee that deal and carry him through the end of the season. So to see that news when this game ended, I'm not going to say a stunner, but I was very much surprised to see, according to Sham Sharania, the Bucks intend on waiving DeMarcus Cousins prior to his contract becoming fully guaranteed for the remainder of the season. 855-616-1620 is the number to get in touch with us on the program tonight. So, what does this DeMarcus Cousins news mean in the big picture, in the grand scheme of things for the Bucks? Is this related to Brook Lopez? Does this mean there's already a plan B? I would hope there's a plan B. And really, what is it the Bucks are going to be missing now without the services of DeMarcus Cousins? Those are the launching points where we will get started. A lot to dive into, not only from this game and where it all went wrong in the final 24 minutes, but more importantly, the season going forward. The Bucks are going to be attacking this season without a whole lot of depth, at least as of right now, in the front court, with Giannis' status still very much up in the air for the road trip, and especially for game one of that trip on Friday against the Brooklyn Nets. Brook Lopez still TBD on when he returns, and now, according to Sham Sharania, no DeMarcus Cousins. So a lot of launching points on tonight's show, and time for you to chime in as well. 855-616-1620. What does this all mean with the departure of DeMarcus Cousins? We'll jump into it after this. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Don't lie about the rest of our lives. Where we're gonna be when we turn 25.
Zone defense now from Toronto, and Cousins hits the three with the foul. A chance at the four-point play for the big fella. How about the downtown efforts from this Bucks team tonight? They have now connected on 9 of 15 from three-point range, and they started 0 of 4.
Oh. Just think about the memories, the Boogie Cousins memories that we had. Don't think about how it ended. Think about what we had here in this brief stint where DeMarcus may have revitalized his career. Who knows? Let it play, Greg. The end of the DeMarcus Cousins era here in Milwaukee is Shams Charania reporting literally moments after the game ended. I mean, you talk about cold-blooded. Imagine that. Now, the entire picture for DeMarcus Cousins. I thought we talked about this at halftime. We being me and Ben and Dave. I thought DeMarcus Cousins played really well in the first half tonight. Now, there's a couple of things to get to, and which led to the decision, we think, to release him and not guarantee the contract for the remainder of the season. But overall, this felt like maybe this... I know he had statistically better games, but this felt like maybe this was the best game the Bucks had gotten out of DeMarcus Cousins overall on both ends of the floor through the first 24 minutes of play here. Then things completely turn in the second half. The Bucks' offense falls apart. DeMarcus Cousins didn't enter the game in the second half until 6 minutes into the third quarter, and even then it was very limited that DeMarcus Cousins played. Now, the reason for those limited minutes, as we would later find out, he left the game with an injury and would not return. So Cousins played 5 minutes in the third quarter when he did enter the game, did not play at all in the fourth quarter, and that was it. 5 minutes a run in the second half for DeMarcus Cousins. In those 5 minutes, attempted one field goal. He missed it. He did get three rebounds, and that was the end of the DeMarcus Cousins era. So you go from 24 overall productive minutes, and again, I think, all things considered, and looking at both ends of the floor, maybe the best 24 minutes you got from DeMarcus Cousins in this brief stint in a Bucks uniform. You go from that to an injury in the second half, and eventually, as soon as the game ends, learning this is the end of the line for DeMarcus Cousins. So, what does this mean in the overall picture here for the Bucks? 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text line. When the Bucks signed DeMarcus Cousins, I think a lot of us had an eyebrow raised, and I think a lot of us, we saw on social media, a few people that called into this show as well, said, well, this means Brook Lopez, it's not good. It is not a good sign for Brook Lopez if the Bucks are bringing in DeMarcus Cousins. Now, I came on these airwaves and said, let's not read too much into this. I don't think this means that Brook's in trouble or it's going to be an extended absence for him, none of that. I think if this is just, hey, let's bring in another body. It's a non-guaranteed deal. We'll see how it works out. DeMarcus wasn't a playoff guy, and that's another point we need to get to here in this discussion, but DeMarcus wasn't really a playoff guy when he was with the Clippers last year. You saw him get played off the floor. I think this is just all about regular season depth. Now, a couple of days after that, we learned, oh, by the way, Brook Lopez just had back surgery. So, since we jumped to conclusions immediately and said, some of us said, well, this clearly means it's bad news for Brook Lopez. And I said, let's not read too much into this. Greg, I'm going to jump to conclusions again, and I'm trying to reverse jinx this now and say, I'm going to stay the course here. This has nothing to do with the rehab status of Brook Lopez. So my hope is this means Brook Lopez is close to a return, since I was wrong the first time, that maybe this means I'm wrong again. But in all seriousness, let's be real here. Because I've already seen a couple of people jump out there and say, well, I mean, you know what? This means Brook might be close to a return. Let's be real here. It is, what, January 5th? I believe this might be 1 month to the day. I got to look this up. But I believe this may be the 1 month anniversary of the Bucks announcing that Brook Lopez had back surgery. So here, December 2nd. So we're just a little bit removed from a month. If we're being honest, you don't recover from back surgery in a month or 6 weeks, and all of a sudden you're back to play a professional sport here amongst the greatest athletes in the world.
Talk about a back-to-back.
Well, I don't think this means you're going to see Brooke Lopez next week. Now, if you want to add fuel to the fire and really recklessly speculate, number one, I was wrong the first time. It doesn't happen a lot, so I'm guessing I won't be wrong again two times on DeMarcus Cousins alone. But I was wrong the first time. Also, I think we all saw the videos that the Bucks put out there on their all-access feed. Brooke Lopez was around the team recently, and on that trip to Orlando, now, yes, he does have a home there and lives there, so I'm sure that was a majority of the reason why, but he's been around the team. So if you want to jump down that path and say, well, release DeMarcus Cousins, check. Around the team, check. Hope and pray, check. Maybe Brooke Lopez will be back. Look, I think if you want to recklessly speculate, I'll allow it on this show. I think the speculation you go with is the injury that DeMarcus Cousins had prohibited from returning to the game. That's going to be something that could keep him out a week, 2 weeks, who knows? And the Bucks are at a spot where, look, we need bodies. That you're on a non-guaranteed deal, we're going to have to bring somebody else in to fill those minutes. Who knows, by the time you do fully recover, we might be on to another 10-day hardship guy, or maybe Brooke is then getting near a return. That if I'm going to speculate and say, okay, one of these two things is more likely, to me, it's more likely that DeMarcus Cousins was going to miss some time with the injury that he left this game with than it is that Brooke Lopez is going to return. And let's not discount that, because as Shams pointed out in this tweet, the Bucks are opting for roster flexibility. Now, in terms of on-the-court flexibility, there's not a lot of it right now, and especially if Giannis isn't going to play. He had to play Mamu quite a bit tonight. And overall, Mamu played pretty well for once again for the next couple of weeks here for the Bucks. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. What is Plan B for the Milwaukee Bucks, seemingly without DeMarcus Cousins? And also, Giannis is not in health and safety protocols, but we saw three more names added to health and safety protocols in the last day or so here for the Bucks. Now, there are some interesting components here, and I was having this discussion with Dave Kane on our way to hear Nick Nurse talk before the game earlier today, but this may be good news overall for the Bucks and what we're seeing start to pile up. We'll explain what we mean after this. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
And goes the other direction with it. He's into the front court, slings it off to Wara. Wara with a wide open lane, and he thumps it down with a tomahawk jam going right down the lane. Jordan Wara had an opening for a three, but his eyes got big when he saw the geography presenting in front of him.
All right, there was some good from tonight. Jordan Wara, I thought, was among that list of good for the Bucks here. Jordan Wara played a great game, I thought, all things considered. DeMarcus Cousins, it appears it is his final game in a Bucks uniform. And a solid 24 minutes from DeMarcus Cousins, in the first 24 minutes, I should say, to open things up here for the Bucks as Boogie finished this game scoring 15 off the bench, 15 points, 10 rebounds in just under 20 minutes of work. It is reportedly going to go down as his final game in a Bucks uniform, and maybe the best performance we've seen from DeMarcus Cousins this season with the Bucks. I know he did have games where he scored more points here. As a member of the Bucks, you think back to what he did, the 22 points he had against the Dallas Mavericks. That was in a stretch where Boogie had double figures and a double-double, for that matter, against the Cavs, had 18 against his former team, the Rockets, had 22 against the Mavs. And then the team got healthy, and you saw less and less of him. So he goes out, we think, on a high note with 15 points and 10 rebounds. But we knew sooner or later there's a tough decision to be made. I was a little surprised that the looks of this are the decision is to move on without DeMarcus Cousins. But let's be honest here. and we'll certainly open this up for the discourse. This is regular season depth. I'm seeing a whole lot of discussions on Twitter, on Bucks Reddit as well. Yes, I lurk there from time to time, Greg. I'm seeing a whole lot of discourse on how bad of a decision this is, and this could be a move that costs us people. It's DeMarcus Cousins. It's 15 minutes a game. This is regular season depth we're talking about. A head scratcher, maybe. And is this puzzling? Sure. But DeMarcus Cousins has just given you regular season minutes. We've seen enough to know DeMarcus Cousins was not going to be a factor in the playoffs. We said that at the time they signed him. Yeah, maybe you could play him in stretches for around 10 minutes. But look at what happened in that series last year. Not the series. Look what happened in the playoffs last year with the Clippers. There were large stretches where you just couldn't keep him on the floor. You saw enough in this sample size this season as well. In 17 games now. 17 games in a Bucks uniform for DeMarcus Cousins. Where overall, if you just look at the numbers, he played pretty well. Around 9 points and 6 rebounds a game that he averaged. Talked about this with Ben Brust on one of our pregame shows. It was basically Bobby Portis's production last year that DeMarcus Cousins was giving you. Only difference is this was 16 games. And a lot of those stretches were when you needed a lot from him. And that was not the case at times with Bobby Portis last year. But we saw some of the limitations on one end of the floor for DeMarcus Cousins. You saw the good. You saw the bad. Little surprising, but nonetheless, I think when you take a step back and analyze it, it's easy to understand, easier, I should say, to understand why the Bucks are making this decision now to move on. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. The story of the night, not the Bucks losing two in a row, not the health and safety protocols that are just running rampant right now in the league and with the Bucks. The Bucks' decision to apparently move on without DeMarcus Cousins. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Who do we have on the line here, Greg?
We have, normally we celebrate new callers. Oh, this is far, but a new caller. This is a caller who's been listening to Bucks Talk for years, for seasons. It's Dick in Port Washington.
Dick in Port Washington. What's up, Dick?
Well, I'll tell you, I've got kind of a crazy theory here, but I'm going to give me some credence here, because remember last year when I called in and I said, when we were at this losing streak, and I said, let's start Augustine at the point guard, and we
yes.
won.
And
Justin,
I laughed at you.
Thought it was kind of crazy doing
yes.
that.
Yeah.
You did. You laughed at me. So I'm just setting myself up here. Okay, here's my take on this. Okay, DeMarcus, he played well, and he behaved himself. Once he signed full-time, what's going to happen? You know, he's always arguing with the refs. He just didn't fit with the team chemistry. That's my take on this, okay? The second point of this is that every time you hear Bud or any of the other talk shows and that, oh, we have so many guards, so many wings. Here's my take on this. I predict that there's going to be a trade for a center, and we're going to lose some of these wings. And Warren might be the first guy to go. I still have problems with him. He shoot first, pass later. Defense is an after fact with him. I predict we're going to trade two or three of these guys, and we're going to come with a center, with the thought that the center that we're going to get is going to be possibly the future. I think Lopez will be back in 4 to 6 weeks. That's my take on this. What do you guys think?
Look, I laughed at you last year. I acknowledge that. I was wrong. The Bucks started DJ Augustine, I think, the very next day after you suggested it. And I'm pretty aligned with what you just said here, Dick, that I agree. I don't think it was a matter of concern over DeMarcus Cousins becoming a guy that you had issues with once the contract became guaranteed. To me, I think it's a lot of what you hit on, that most of the Bucks' depth is on the wing. And if there is a move made, you would have to assume it's going to be a package of those wing players. Now, certainly Jordan Wara's name has come up. I know people have brought up Dante DiVincenzo's name quite a bit. To me, I just don't see it, that for a number of reasons. The Bucks think very highly of him. We've already seen in the time that Dante DiVincenzo has returned, Grayson Allen has had some struggles. I know Grayson Allen has been battling an illness. Grayson Allen, by the way, lost around 10 pounds in the last couple of weeks just from battling this illness. But you've seen with both of those players back what they do that the other doesn't. And that Grayson Allen, we talked about this early in the season of, you know, maybe we over-exaggerated here. Maybe we got a little bit ahead of ourselves and said, hey, I don't know, maybe this guy is what you thought you were getting in Bogdan Bogdanovic when you look at the start he went on this year. He's that pure shooter, and he's the guy that when the shot is falling and when he's playing alongside Giannis, he's going to get a lot of open looks, and he gives you that weapon that you really haven't had in the past. But when Dante returned, he had one of those games, and I believe it was the last game he played before rolling that ankle against the Pelicans on New Year's Day in the warm-ups. He started to look better and better, but you started to see, you know, Dante just does all the things that Grayson Allen doesn't do, and vice versa. I mean, Dante can shoot. Grayson's a better shooter, but Dante's that guy that plays with more bounce. He's a better defender. He's the guy that gets in transition a lot more, and he's the guy that attacks the basket more, and these are things that you need both. So because the Bucks need that and don't just need a guy that's going to sit out outside the three-point line and shoot, I just never saw it as a move there, number one, that I think Dante is vital, especially without P.J. Tucker and your ability to play smaller. You're going to need Dante. You need, ideally, Giannis and Chris in the front court, and then you go with a combination of guys like Dante and Drew. Wesley Matthews certainly fits into that mix. George Hill as well, that can defend multiple positions. So that's number one, but also the contract. It just doesn't make sense to move Dante's contract during the season, because the problem the Bucks have with their cap situation, they got Giannis, they got Chris, they got Drew, guys making $30-plus million. Brooke Lopez is around $14 million. After that, it's a lot of guys around $2 to $5 million. Most of the good players that we're going to talk about, hey, the Bucks should acquire this guy, and what if you traded for this guy? You're talking about $10 million deals or so. They don't have a lot of those deals. So right there, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to trade Dante either when it's not a contract in that range. So you would need to combine quite a bit. Dante and Jordan Wara, I've seen everybody open up the trade machine and say, well, what if you combine Dante and Jordan Wara and traded him for this player? Financially, it doesn't work a lot of times. Dante and Jordan Wara for Miles Turner, I hate to break it to you, it doesn't work under the parameters of the CBA and with the contract. So that's another reason why I just don't see Dante being moved. But if you told me they were going to package some of the wing guys, or they were going to have a Jordan Wara and somebody else here and move them, similar to that move the Bucks made last year for P.J. Tucker, which, Greg, do you remember who they gave up for P.J. Tucker?
No.
D.J. Augustine and yes. D.J. Wilson. A couple of DJs got you P.J. If they did something like that, where you packaged a couple of those players and said, okay, we'll do this, we'll do Jordan Wara, and I'm not advocating for the Bucks to move any of these guys, but if you did that and you brought in somebody like Rolo, I mean, that's what you would set your sights on and say, okay, we'll take one of these guys. Well, maybe Jordan Wara becomes a guy. Maybe Jordan Wara becomes the next Tobias Harris, where you say, man, the Bucks gave up on him too early. He's a guy that can score in this league, and he's making a lot of money, and he's moving on to a couple of different teams, and everywhere he's gone, he scored, but there's questions on the other end of the floor. Maybe that's his future, and maybe that's what he becomes. But if you can get some immediate short-term help in the front court, and that's what the Bucks need most right now, you're the defending champions. You just won the NBA championship last year. You made a similar move. Now, granted, DJ Wilson's future is a little different from what we've seen so far from Jordan Wara's future, but those are the moves you make to stay at that level and defend your championship. So that I would be fine with. It wouldn't shock me. I just would not set my sights on anything major. I think this is a rotational player that you would be talking about in any type of move that the Bucks would be making. But it's certainly worth asking if this means, is there another trade in the works? Because there, what we've seen from John Horst, there is certainly a plan B. You don't make this move and say, okay, we had to make a decision by Friday. Let's just move on. we'll figure out what we're going to do next. You knew the deadline. You knew the date that was approaching. There is no way the Bucks approached this and were caught with their pants down and said, hey, what are we going to do? We'll figure it out later. You've already started to work on these backup plans, and there is a plan B. What that is, will we find out Friday? Will we find out tomorrow? Who knows? But rest assured, everything we've seen from John Horst the last couple of years, there is a plan B, and there is something. He's always lurking and working on those stealth moves. So we know it won't be DeMarcus Cousins. But I have a hard time believing the Bucks are going to approach most of the rest of this season and say, you know what? We feel good about Giannis and Bobby, and that's it. And if we have to play Sandro, we play Sandro. We're good with that. When Brooke comes back, he comes back. There is something else that we will learn in the very, very near future. I can guarantee that. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. The Bucks have apparently decided it is the end of the road for DeMarcus Cousins. COVID talk. A lot more players in protocols. Coaches in protocols as well. Why is this good news for the Bucks? We will fill you in next. It's Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.
This is Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
He's going to pull up again, launches the three, and he hits again. Drew Holiday is starting to have that non-Giannis look. When he doesn't have Giannis on the court, he says, you know what? It's on me. Bucks by seven now.
Drew Holiday started playing pretty well. I mean, Drew, look, we made the case on Bucks in 30 last night. Drew Holiday is an all-star. And today, I believe, today was one of those days, was it not, Greg? Either today or Friday, where votes count double for the All-Star game. So if you haven't, get out there, vote for Drew Holiday. He's played like an All-Star all season. He played like an All-Star for most of this game, and then no one on the Bucks played like an All-Star in the final 24 minutes. That's the story of the game. The Raptors dominate in that stretch of play and win this game 117-111. So the Bucks hit 13 threes in the first half, 17 for the game as a whole. They go just 4 of 18 on threes in the second half, and Drew Holiday does get the double-double, 15 points, 12 assists. He had 11 points and 8 assists at halftime. So no one on this team had a great second half, and it was pretty simple. The ball movement stopped. We gave you the turnovers and assist numbers. They dropped off a cliff, 10 turnovers in the second half. The Bucks finished this game with 22 assists. They had 16 at halftime. So you do the math. 6 assists, 10 turnovers. Not very good. We saw the ball movement slow down. We saw Jordan Wara made a lot of the right plays. In the first half, the Bucks passed up good shots for better shots, and the ball just moved around. In the second half, that stopped, and you saw a lot of Rodney Hood. You saw a lot of one and done. And before the game, we heard Raptors coach Nick Nurse talk about a couple of things with his team, but one of the things that he mentioned that stood out to me the most was when he looks at this group of guys, the Raptors, kind of similar to the Bucks, and frankly similar to a lot of teams this season, they haven't really had a healthy group. They haven't had their full group of guys they really want to throw out there at once. But the trio of Scottie Barnes, OG Anunoby, and Pascal Siakam, that is their ideal front court. That's something they want to roll with quite a bit. They've only had them together for one game prior to tonight. They give him good size, a lot of athleticism, and a lot of switching ability. But as Nick Nurse said, look, the problem we have right now is we have guys that can switch, but you really have to recognize switching correctly. It's one thing to switch. You got to make sure you're making the right switch. And right now, that's what we're struggling with the most. I think you saw a lot of that in the first half. The Bucks were making the extra passes, the Raptors, and basically talking about what we hinted at. Look, DeMarcus Cousins, what he did give you offensively at a four-point play tonight, scored 15 points tonight, still has that IQ and that passing ability, but you saw on the opposite end of the spectrum, there's some struggles on defense. There's not a whole lot of lift. I mean, he had an Achilles injury. He's a veteran. He's not as nimble and as spry as he once was, but he's not a rim protector. And I think you saw the defensive limitations the longer the experiment went on. The Bucks' defense, quite frankly, was not very good in points per 100 possessions when DeMarcus Cousins was on the floor. Their offense was great. The defense was not. And in 3+ years under Coach Mike Budenholzer, if you've learned one thing, you got to play defense. You got to play defense. You got to move the ball. It can't just be offense or you won't find your way on the floor. I think we saw enough to see, yeah, DeMarcus is getting out there because of the offense, but because they need some big man depth right now. So that, to me, was really the biggest issue with DeMarcus Cousins. And as we said from the start, this is regular season depth we're talking about. I get that it's a head-scratcher. I get that it catches a lot of us off guard, but DeMarcus Cousins is not going to play, was not going to play meaningful minutes in the postseason for this team. If he does, there's bigger issues. There's more injuries that occur. That's why I'm not all worked out of shape. I'm surprised. I'm caught off guard. But you knew DeMarcus Cousins may not even play at all in the playoffs for this team. So that's where we're at. Now, one of the things I mentioned just a couple of moments ago here, we saw three more names in terms of players added to health and safety protocols. We saw Coach Mike Budenholzer in there. We learned after the game as well. And we learned during the game when you looked at the sidelines and said, wait a minute, who else is missing there? Charles Lee is also out in health and safety protocols. So this team has been very banged up. But, Greg, let's just go through the names of players the Bucks have lost to health and safety protocols this season. Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chris Middleton, Dante DiVincenzo, Bobby Portis, Wesley Matthews, Thanasis Antetokounmpo, Jordan Wara, Shemi Ojeleye, George Hill, Grayson Allen, and now Pat Connaughton. So, in all, 11 players that the Bucks have placed into health and safety protocols: Drew Holiday, Rodney Hood, Sandro Mamukelishvili, Javante Smart, and Brooke Lopez are the only players that have not entered COVID protocols for the Bucks this season. So in other words, protect Drew Holiday at all costs and do it ASAP, because if he goes down between now and the road trip, it's getting really bleak in the backcourt. But the good news is we heard from Darvin Ham before the game today, Coach Budenholzer, no symptoms. He's been asymptomatic and doing pretty well. We heard the same about Giannis. We heard the same about Chris Middleton. Heard the same about that entire group that ended around the same time, Dante and Bobby and Wes. It sounds as though it's the same with George Hill, with Grayson, with Pat. So the good news is, so far, these guys aren't getting sick. But also, I don't know about the latest three, but I do know the other names that have entered for the Bucks in protocols. It's been Omicron. In other words, it's not Delta, and you're worrying about, okay, now are we going to lose these guys again? I mean, it's unfortunate now in the short term in the regular season, but five names are the only ones that have not entered protocols. The biggest of those names, Drew Holiday and Brooke Lopez, those are the only guys out there on the radar that you say, hey, potentially we could lose them for some time. So that, I guess, if we want to take a silver lining, is the good news for the Bucks. But certainly it'll be interesting to see what the status and availability is for Giannis as they embark for Brooklyn on Friday. So a 6:30 tip against the Nets Friday night, and it's part of a three-game road trip. The Nets on Friday, the Hornets Saturday, and the Hornets again on Monday. 6:30 tip against the Nets Friday night. 6 o'clock is when our coverage begins. And as always, back immediately after that game ends with more Bucks talk. My thanks to Greg for producing the show and everybody else for hanging out for the last hour. We'll talk to you once again Friday night with more Bucks talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.